You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
One goal to win the title, it's as simple as that. Could it happen? Balotelli, Aguero!
And Mo Farah's coming down the straightway, and he's going to be attacked by Debra Meskel, and Mo Farah's got the double! He's the Olympic champion again, Debra Meskel.
2-1. It's got a throw, it's got to go to the keeper's end. He's got it! England have won the World Cup! By the barest of all margins!
Watch the ball, the sports coach says. It's one of the first things they tell you. Why do you think you missed that one? He says. Because you took your eye off the ball. Watch it all the way. You can even lip-read batsmen saying it to themselves as the bowler's running in. Owen Morgan, for instance. Watch the ball, right onto the bat. But have you ever tried to actually do that? Welcome to the Barest of Margins podcast with me, Simon Hughes. This is the show that delves deeply into the world of sport to discover how athletes and sports players derive marginal gains from the specialist trainers and scientists they work with, or the innovative techniques or strategies they use in an attempt to realise their dreams. Today's guest might help anyone, not just elite sports players. It's Dr. Cheryl Calder, or the Eye Lady, as she's often called, a sports scientist and specifically a visual performance coach who's enhanced the visual awareness of a string of sports teams and individuals down the years, notably England's 2003 Rugby World Cup winning team, the Springboks, England cricketers, a number of golfers, Formula One drivers, and most recently, the South African batsman Faf du Plessis, who'd had a horrible run of form in 2020, but after a few sessions with Dr. Calder, ended up as the leading run scorer in the 2021 Indian Premier League. Now, going back to that challenge to watch the ball right onto the bat, Dr. Calder would have been the first to tell any batsman that it's impossible. An 80-mile-an-hour delivery, an average pace for a fast bowler, takes about half a second to travel the length of the pitch. That's a speed of almost 12 feet, or 3.65 metres, per tenth of a second. But rapid eye movements, called saccades, take about 0.3 of a second for the brain to generate and process. In other words, refocusing your eyes takes about a third of a second. So, in the case of an 80-mile-an-hour delivery, by the time your eyes have zeroed in on the ball, it will be in a different place. So, how do elite batsmen manage to play those fast deliveries? Practice can only take you part of the way. Dr. Calder can train you to use all your visual faculties and response mechanisms more effectively. She is quick to point out, however, that her work is far more intricate than merely helping athletes improve their eyesight. If you enjoy this podcast, please like it and tell your friends and maybe give us a review on iTunes. So this is Dr. Cheryl Calder, otherwise known as the Eye Lady.
I don't work on eyesight at all. In fact, you can go anywhere and have your eyes tested and get that information. The work that I do is unique because it's got nothing to do with eyesight. And I'll give you an example later in the talk about Donald Bradman, for example. But I work with how the eyes take information in. And you can imagine a batsman with a ball coming at them at whatever speed. It's how you take that information in. So I call them input skills. And then importantly, it's not only about seeing where the ball's coming and the speed and judging all of that. It's also about how quickly the brain can process that information and then tell the body what to do. You know, the processing skills and then the response, be it a batsman, be it someone catching, be it someone bowling, fielding, you know, whatever you're doing in cricket, the eyes have first got to take that information in and process it and respond in some kind of way. So that's, as I say, I've worked with guys with good eyesight who've had bad visual skills, and I've worked with guys with bad eyesight who've got good skills. So it's really not dependent on your eyesight. It's dependent on how you take information in.
And how simply do you improve those response skills? What are your techniques?
Yeah, I realized in my research these are the skills you need. And I've, over time, initially I used to work manually with players and try and train them, but then I realized that it's too slow and too antiquated to do it in that way. And I then created an eye gym training program. Just like you have a gym program for your body, I have a gym program for your eyes and your brain and your motor skills, and also decision-making under pressure. And I've put all the stuff I've learned over years of working with different teams, coaches, cultures, sports, etc. And I realized this is what players need. I've put that into a gym program. So I've built a gym specifically for these skills. And it's accessible to anyone in the world because we really work all over the world, you know, every country really. And players can train anywhere. That's how it's evolved from me having to go there and train the individual manually to giving you a training program and then maybe catching up with you later, because part of the training I do as well is to teach the individual how to best use his system. And I believe that every single player has a unique system and they have strengths and weaknesses in that system, just like you do in the physical system. I identify those for you and then I coach you and train you to perform better, really.
I remember a story about the England rugby team in 2003, who obviously won the World Cup, and you work with them there on their sort of spatial awareness. Is that one way of describing it? And how did you do that?
Again, identify the skills, take the individual, improve his basic skills, and then coach them how to use those skills on the field. So we actually presume that the elite player is good at all this stuff, and actually they're not. So there would be a player, so if you use rugby as an example, who has really got good awareness in his peripheral and been able to respond quickly, and then there might be a player who doesn't. And then the other one has a good ability to judge, another one has ability to react better, another guy reacts slower, and, you know, so just identifying these individual skills, because it's really about the individual, working with the individual and not the group. Because everyone is unique. And I think that's really been the crux of my success, is identifying the individual needs and strengths and weaknesses and improving them, him or her.
So what techniques have you found work the best? I mean, you've been doing this obviously for 20 plus years. And, you know, I mentioned the England Rugby World Cup in 2003, the Rugby World Cup triumph in 2003. That's nearly 20 years ago now. So you must have discovered new methods that work more effectively, such as what?
Yeah, no, I mean, not really. I mean, my core PhD was to identify all this and show that you can improve these skills, because people originally thought you're born with these abilities and they're not, and I've shown that they're trainable. So obviously technology has helped, and I can now send a training program to anyone in the world. And again, that technology of that training program has improved as well. You know, I can include a whole lot of different movements and scenarios, et cetera, which I couldn't do 20 years ago. So the technology is really what has improved drastically. The core coaching still remains the same. You know, individual still needs to, or the player still needs to take in information in a certain way and at a certain speed, process it at a certain speed and accurately, and then get the hands to respond to whatever's happening, hands and feet and the body, really, if that answers your question, Simon.
Yes, and no, it does. And I'm going to move it on by saying that I remember Andy Flower, the well-known Zimbabwean batsman, who, of course, then coached England to great success. He talked about when he trained himself to bat and to wicketkeep, he would often stand in Zimbabwe, in his home country, watching a bird fly through the sky and follow it until it literally had disappeared. A fast flying bird flitting about until it was a speck in the sky. And I also read that you felt that people spending too much time looking at computers is bad for their general kind of, you know, perception and eyesight. So can you give us some examples of simple techniques that you apply to individual needs?
Yeah, so I mean, just come back to what Andy did was makes absolute sense. But for me, the ability he was training or doing was tracking, you know, depending on the speed of the bird. So they're different skills, they're different eye movement skills. But I imagine if it wasn't flying too fast, he was tracking it. And that's equivalent to a ball being bowled at you. So he was training the tracking skill. But what I've added in is, even though you're tracking something, you've still got to make a decision. So say, for example, I'm batting and the ball's coming towards me. I need to track the ball effectively, but I still need to make a decision where I'm going to play it and put my hands and put my feet, etc. So I train decision-making, which I think is crucial. And I train decision-making under pressure, which the elite athlete, elite player deals with on a daily basis. But it's a very hard skill to train. So I train that ability. And we just, the other skill when training in the R gym, what you're doing, you're responding to the unexpected. So it's easy to do the regular stuff. And I know this is going to happen. I can do that and that. But it's the unexpected ball that gets you out, isn't it? Or some kind of skill that you're not doing effectively. Say, for example, tracking a ball. Your eyes start getting tired. You don't track effectively. It means you either see the ball late or etc. And then you play the wrong shot. So what I've added in is that training for the unexpected and the ability to make a decision under pressure while using all these visual skills, which are crucial for playing the game of cricket or whatever you're involved in.
And so how do you train those responses under pressure? What's the system?
Yeah, I've got a system called RGIM, the training program, and it trains those four components: how you take information in, how you process it in the brain, how you respond. So there's a response mechanism that we use on the if you're training on an iPad or a computer or a laptop, whatever you're working on, and then decision making under pressure. So in a 10-minute session of training in the gym or in the RGIM, you would probably make about 500 decisions based on something you haven't seen before. Now you can imagine if you train that ability, that input, process, respond, decision making, and you do that 500 times, and you train it at a level which is way higher than you experience on the field of play, then we're getting a player to perform really at the top of his performance or her performance. So again, it's about the individual. So it's about really going to the gym and improving those skills. And we believe that if you haven't trained these skills, you're underperforming. And throughout my career, I've worked with some of the best players and the best Formula One drivers. And when I assess them, I still find these strengths and weaknesses in their system. Because we presume, and probably I did in my young days, I presume that if you are at the top of your game, that you're good at everything. But actually, you're not. So in this system that I train, you're actually not, unless you've trained it specifically.
And is the iGym something that is downloadable? You pay a fee or something and you get something sort of straight away to your... So you could start it sort of pretty much immediately, or do you need your kind of expertise and counselling first?
Okay, so originally it was only available to the elite players that I was dealing with. But then I started getting requests from all over the world. Can we train? Can we do? How do you do this? And eventually got to where on rgym.com, we now have a training program that you can subscribe to. It's a four-week training program, and you can subscribe based on your level of performance, your age, etc. There's a basic assessment that gets done, and then a training program gets assigned accordingly. So anyone can do it. And I think the important message, I know we're talking cricket, everyone should be doing it, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, all the mobile devices that we spend so much time on, and in the COVID period, even more than ever, the eyes were never designed to do that. You know, they're designed to move and look around and look for and et cetera. And at the moment, we're just in here all the time, and we are too close, and there's no judgment, there's no awareness, there's no decision making. We're distracted because we're going from one thing to the other. So we're detraining the skills that you actually need for cricket, and we're detraining the skills we actually need as a human being.
For life, yeah. Really?
Yeah. As for life, yeah. So I think everyone should be doing it. Kids are probably more vulnerable now than ever before. I think they should all be doing it, because we're not using our system in the way it was designed for. So we're almost boxing it in and saying, okay, still perform to your potential, even though we've put us in this little box.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Specifically for cricket, I've done a bit of research myself on eye movement. I actually went and faced a bowling machine, and I also put myself against a test match player. I'd retired by then and wasn't the best batsman anyway. And I matched myself against the skills of a test match player, both of us wearing these special glasses which looked at our retina to see what we were looking at.
Yeah.
And I know that there is this aspect of your eyes called saccades, which is to do with rapid eye movement, and that you can't track a ball of 80 miles an hour all the way through. So you have to sort of pick your moments. Your eyes, your brain picks the moments as the ball is passing down where to focus on. And the better players seem to be further ahead of that ball, or being able to premeditate where that ball will be, rather than the lesser abled players like me, who were sort of behind the ball's path as we focused on it. So firstly, is that correct? And secondly, how do you train? How do you improve that part of your skill?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So there are those two movements that the eyes do. They do the tracking movement and they do the saccades. And I call them, in simple terms, tracking is a following movement, just to make it simple for people to understand. And saccades, I call them eye jumps. So the eyes do two things. So the ball's coming at me and it's moving towards me. I'm trying to track it. When it moves too quickly, what the eyes do, they do an anticipatory jump to where they think the ball's going to be. And then you would play the shot. If, for example, that tracking movement is too slow, and I should have already done the saccade or done the jump, you can imagine the consequences. And I'm talking fine margins, you know, and vice versa. So the tracking is good enough, but the saccade is too slow to get to where the point is before I have to play the ball. I'm also going to mistime the shot, etc. So that's absolutely true. You wouldn't have been bad at saccades just because you were bad at them. It would just be a skill you didn't develop well enough. And the top order batsmen would develop those skills better. But if they train them specifically, they could develop them even better than that.
And how do you do that? So how do you do that?
So in the iGym, I have certain drills which are designed for cricket players, and they all need those skills. They all need the pursuit and or the tracking and the jump skills. They all need that, and then still need to base a decision on that. They need eye-hand coordination. They need ability to judge, etc. The ability to read line and length. And those are all trainable skills within the iGym. But as I mentioned, the other component is actually working with the individual and teaching him about his system. And I did an interesting, quite a long time ago, I did at Loughborough, I did a batting course with Bob Wilmer. And not to mention any names, he was one of England's top opening batsmen in that presentation. And I remember his words to me. He said, "I'm so sorry I didn't meet you earlier, because there are some core basic skills which, if I could teach you about it early, it would improve your performance," which people aren't really coached about. And wherever I've worked in cricket, lots of people are like, "Really? Is that really like that?" And if you start thinking about it logically, it's correct, you know. So that's the other part of my work. But I can't work with you if your visual motor decision-making system isn't fit enough. So I would train these tracking skills, and I'll train the jump skills, and I'll still put them under pressure, and I'll still make you want to make a decision. So it's this real world scenario that I train about 500 times in 10 minutes, you know, on the basic program. In some programs, you can probably make about 800 decisions per training session. Now, you can imagine if you do that, you must get out there and feel, "Oh, the ball's coming at me slower," or something like that. You know, we see the ball that big, you know, the concept that people often talk about.
You mentioned Donald Bradman at the start, and of course, he famously practiced with a stump and a golf ball bouncing off an irregular surface, obviously thousands of times.
Yeah.
Is your iGym and your systems partly a sort of virtual version of what Bradman did?
Yeah, that was really a innovative, antiquated way of doing it, but it worked at that time. And the other part of the story that I actually wanted to add in that was that Bradman was in the war, and he was his eyes were tested. I speak under correction. It was presumed that he wanted to become a pilot, and they tested his eyesight, and they failed him and said, "Sorry, you can't." And then he had, 105 test average after 15 tests or something like that. And it's not about sight. It's about how you see the ball. So what Bradman was actually training was, I think he threw the ball on corrugated iron, and the ball would always come differently. Like I said, the unexpected would always come off differently. And having a smaller bat as a cricket stump, his accuracy was trained to a much higher level than expected on the field of play. And it makes absolutely sense that he was the best batsman in his era.
And I know actually Andy Flower used a similar system, in fact. And of course, you know, there's examples of batsmen, Jeff Boycott's one, whose eyesight wasn't that good. Obviously, he had to wear glasses. There have been others that wore contact lenses. So it shows that it's not all about eyesight as such, as you're, as you're saying. What else in cricket could be benefit from your expertise? I suppose fielding would be one thing.
Yeah, fielding important. You know, judging on what you see, not what you think you see. I mean, I see so many catches missed where someone thinks the batsman going to do that and then misjudges. I see balls going over guys' heads because they jump too early or too late. You know, those are all judgment skills. That's the ability to judge where the ball's coming off the bat and what height it's and trajectory it's going at. Those are all trainable skills. So by training all these different visual performance skills, you're actually training that ability. And for bowlers, I believe putting the ball in the right place, which you see now, I'm not sure, is it worse today than it's been in the past, or is it just the nature of the game? But I think that ability is a trainable ability. And for bowlers, batsmen reading line and length, which is crucial. So it plays a role in absolutely everything. Missed catches, I mean, how many of that do we see nowadays?
And you're convinced that you, just to play devil's advocate, you're convinced that you could, you know, a fielder who sort of looks a bit, there's fielders you call, we term, have electric hands, and the ball sort of tends to bounce off them or they get into the position too late or whatever. You are convinced that you could improve that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because your eyes are telling you where to put your hands. So it's not that, I know in cricket, when I used to lecture, I used to talk about hard hands and soft hands. Soft hands is really being able to judge correctly exactly where the ball is, track it correctly, or whatever skill you have to use in getting it into your hands. If your hands are hard, it actually means you're not seeing the ball land when it should land. It's, you know, it's either too early or too late, or, you know, whatever you're judging, however you're judging it. It's an absolute trainable skill. And I've got real life examples of people I've worked with and how it's improved their ability.
And batting wise, you've got it, you know, recent experience with, you know, top players that have, you think, have benefited from what you've done.
Well, my very early, not early days, but the beginning of my science, I worked with Pakistan, and Saeed Anwar was the opening bat, and I worked quite a lot with him, and he had a player that he really battled to pick up what he was bowling at Muralitharan, which I think had a unique style anyway, which is not normal for the eye of a cricketer, because it's something different. It's almost that unexpected that I spoke about earlier. So I just worked with Saeed. We picked up a skill he wasn't good at and worked with him, and he actually never got him out again. Just because we identified the skill, we improved the skill, and then trained him to pick up that information better. And he never got him out again. So that was Saeed. And there are lots of others that I could mention.
Believe it or not, although I wasn't a very good batsman, I have actually written a book about batting. And it's called Who Wants to Be a Batsman? And I've sort of used a lot of information that I've gathered over the years from personal experience and also talking to other players. And one of the things that I picked up on was what to focus on when the bowler's running in. So some players, actually Strauss was one, said he just looked at a general area as the bowler was running in. Others, like Ricky Ponting, said, I actually looked at the ball and trying to read the writing on the ball and obviously see where the seam was. He said he looked at the ball three times during the run-up. Others said they looked at the ball all the way through the run-up. Others said they just focused on the delivery point and so on. So I suppose, is that part of what you're saying, that each individual has their own method, but you work with that to an extent, but there's probably a happy medium in the middle there somewhere?
There is a happy medium. Everyone is individual, but I think, though, Simon, what's important to what I found throughout my work is that players get into bad habits, and whatever pushes them, there are different scenarios that pushes them into those bad habits. So, and if I pick up the ball too late, doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to be too late. You know, I'm not going to judge correctly or play the shot correctly. So there is a happy medium that I believe the eyes can handle. You know, that's what I would coach players. And then we'd individualize it according to where he bats, et cetera, et cetera.
It sounds like you could be busy here. Have you got assistants? I mean, is this all just you?
At the moment it is, yes. I have a colleague who deals with, I think Christy's liaised with you, Simon, who assists me in all of this. But when it comes down to coaching, it's really, you know, what I've learned. And, even before I learned all this stuff, I just believe that's how it works. So as a kid, when I was really young, I was challenged about how do you judge, you know, where do you see the ball and all those kind of stuff. And I used to experiment even before I went to school with all this stuff. And then obviously played a bit of hockey for South Africa, et cetera, and realized that these are actually true, but no one's talking about them or training them. So it's always been part of what I do, and then just now putting it into a system which is accessible to everyone in the world. So it's all logical. I've done the research. I've proven it in performance. I know how the human body works, and it's just about, it's an exciting way of if you can, in 10 minutes of RGM, make 500 decisions with your eyes and your brain based on something you haven't seen before, imagine how you can accelerate the performance. Now, I know the Bradmans trained with a stump and a corrugated iron, but you imagine how many you have to do to really push up your performance. So in 10 minutes of RGM, you can do a couple of thousand decisions, you know. So imagine how exciting that is. I mean, if I was a player, I wish I had that when I was younger, because I used to do it manually, like Bradman and those guys. You know?
Me too. Yeah, I wish I had as well. And you said you work with Formula One, and Formula One drivers. Are there things that you work with them that I suppose would be applicable to facing a fast ball?
So there's a skill called visual recognition, and it's the ability to pick up information earlier. And the earlier you pick it up, the more time you have. And we've seen the batsmen who have more time to play shots. I mean, one name always comes to mind for me is Tendulkar. But in Formula One, we've worked with a couple of drivers, and in one of them, we picked up that his ability to pick up information early was not near up to standard, but he was racing in Formula One. But what the human being does, you make yourself better at the skills you're good at, and the ones you're not good at, you just use less and less. But there comes a situation in a race where you need that skill, and if you don't have it, you crash, you know. And Formula One, it's a lot more dangerous than, you know, fielding or bowling or batting, etc. So we picked that up with him, and we brought him out for a 3-hour Formula One, and we still work with him. So no one would have picked up that ability, and he would have always been a really good driver up to a point. But if you're lacking certain skills, and recognition is one of the big skills you need to pick up that information early and respond, maybe we've pushed him to a level beyond what he would have been, you know. And that's really, do you want to do that, or do you want to do what you always did and get what you always got, you know, or do you want to push your game to another level?
So to sort of sum up, you know, in cricket, using the iGym to start with would be, to try it out, I suppose, you'd recommend that. What kind of impact do you think you can have on an individual player?
I always remember, to give you a simple example, if I go back to rugby in England, rugby 2003 World Cup, I remember what Johnny Wilkinson said. I asked him how did RGM and the work I did impact his game, and he says he used to always get the ball and make a decision. So he would pass or kick or run or, you know, whatever. He says he now got the ball and he had three decisions and he chose the best one. And if you remember what happened at the end of that World Cup, you know, he got the ball and had three Australian players running down on him, and he actually kicked the ball off his right foot, which is his non-dominant foot. Probably would have tried his dominant foot, and I would imagine those guys would have been under pressure. But that ability to make the right decision at the right time, under pressure. So I've really just done some work with Faf du Plessis, who got injured in one of the games, and he's been out for 11 weeks. And he was going to play in the 100 and wasn't able to. And then came back to South Africa and did a bit of work with him, put him on RGM, and he went off to the CPL a week later. So I wasn't able to work with him one-on-one, only in one session, but I could give him RGM and know that he would be training these abilities, and went off to the CPL. In one game, I think he scored 84, another one he scored 120, after being out of the game for 11 weeks. Yeah, and he's just... he did well two evenings ago again. So, yeah, so it's taking a player that's been injured or been out of the game, enhancing his fitness, accelerating his visual motor fitness as quick as I can to get him ready for the game. So, so that's a recent example.
That's a very good example as mm-hmm. well. Well, I mean, that must be very satisfying. That sounds like a great way to finish, really. But do you have a sort of message to cricketers from you?
Yeah, I would always want to be better than I was last year or last season. And by training these skills, I will make you a better player. But it's a you got to train to make yourself better. So you're actually underperforming. And do you want to be better as a cricketer? Do you want to go the extra mile? And if you do, there's a really scientific proven way of improving performance. If I was a young cricketer or an old one for that matter, I would want to improve my game. And there's an easy way to do it. And it's not a thumbsuck or anything. We have thousands and thousands of elite athletes and players in our back end. We have all that data and all the training programs get built on real people, results and information. And the training program adapts in that kind of way.
Well, it's been fascinating listening to you, and we certainly should recommend the iGym. So how do people access it?
It's quite easy. You go to igym.com, and when you go onto the website, there's a little assessment that you can do, and it will send you the information, and you can straight away get the status of your iGym fitness. And if need be, you can sign up to your training program. It would be a generic one initially, but there is an option to get hold of us, and we would design a bespoke program for mostly our elite athletes and players.
Well, I hope you found that as revealing and insightful as I did. That was Dr. Cheryl Calder. And if you want to know more, you can go to igym.com, which has all sorts of success stories and testimonies and information about how to get on the iGym. So that's igym.com. And maybe we can all enhance our visual awareness in whatever we do. My next guest on the Barest of Margins podcast is the man who was instrumental in helping England's cricketers deal with their fear of failure during the 2019 World Cup, and in the end was very significant in them actually winning the trophy. So that's my next guest on the Barest of Margins podcast. And don't forget my other podcast, The Analyst Inside Cricket, looking back in everyday's play in England Test matches and generally being a review of activities and events in the cricket world. Hope you can join me and Simon Mann for those podcasts. Meantime, thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.